Welcome to Commander Central, episode 31. This will be a continuation of our Wooburg series, and this time we're talking about red, which is the color of love, the color of blood, and the color of my wife's hair, mostly. It's mostly still red. And to my son, who I know listens to this podcast, do not tell your mom I made that joke. That is not acceptable.
I plead the fifth on this one.
I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
And this is Commander Central. So yeah, I probably shouldn't be making gray hair jokes since I've got my beard's looking pretty Grizzly Adams nowadays. So how's everyone doing this evening?
Oh, wonderful.
Pretty good.
Looking good, feeling good. Any good stories from this week? We usually have somebody that has a pretty good story. I have kind of a good one from last night.
Okay.
Since I already mentioned my wife, I might as well dig a deeper hole. She sleeps with like two pillows. So she has like a stack of pillows. But sometimes she doesn't like one of the pillows and she'll take it off. So last night I get up at like 3 a.m. to go to the bathroom and walk around the bed. And her side of the bed is the one along the area where the bathroom is. So I walk, and she had at some point did not want that second pillow. So she had just taken it off and just tossed it on the floor. And I tripped over it at like 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
Right. Wow.
Just stumbled like two steps into the bathroom and almost face into the counter. I like caught myself as I'm going down, and I still went down. But like I at least was able to like with my hands in the dark, like hit the counter and keep from like face biffing entirely into the counter.
Oh, no.
And then I woke up in the morning, I'm like, did you set a trap for me last night? Is that what that was supposed to be? So that was my advantage. And I'm sore now. I like all day today, I feel like I'm, which means I'm old, I guess, in part. But so yeah, I'm still feeling the effects of the trap she laid for me.
I've never tripped over something like that, but I trip over my frigging dog every night I get up because she sleeps literally right on the side of the bed right next to me. I kick my feet over, step off the bed, and I'm like,
see, my cat used to chase me down the stairs and bite my feet like it's a game, to the point where one day I actually fell down the basement stairs.
Oh.
And ran right into the wall. And like I texted my boss, I'm like, I'm gonna be like 20 minutes late. Just fell down my flight of stairs. I need to like make sure I have my legs not broken. And he's sitting on top of me like, hi, let's keep playing. Come on, get up.
Well, since we're describing falling down or in pain stories, this just popped into my head because of Max telling this one. This was when I was in high school. I worked at a sawmill in town where I lived, and I would get up at like 5:30 in the morning and take my bike to the sawmill where I piled lumber all day. And it's like 5:30 a.m. and I'm pedaling to work, and my shoe, my lace on my shoe had got wrapped around the pedal like it does, and. But I'm like going fast. I'm like standing up in the pedals, like, you know. And that shoelace hit, and the bike locks up, and I flip right over the front of those handlebars, and I, like right on my face. I mean, like on like, and then the bike went over on top of me. The front tire was like bent at like a 45-degree angle, and like I went down that hard, and then the bike went down. Like I bent the front tire. And I think I knocked myself out for a few seconds because when I woke up, I was, you know, it was like I was out of it. No, I'd blood everywhere. And so I got up and I walked my bike the rest of the way into work with a bent tire. And my boss is like, what the hell is wrong? And I'm like, I'm gonna need to be off.
That's great.
And then she gave me a ride back to my house, right? Got cleaned up, but yeah, that's my bike spill story. Okay.
I don't think that's ever happened to me. On a motorcycle, yes, but not on
Well,
a
that's
pedal
much
bike.
Worse than a bicycle.
I have plenty of bicycle / rollerblading fall stories I could tell that would probably take up an entire hour.
Welcome to Commander Central, where we talk about getting hurt. So any games worth talking about this week from you guys?
Chris and I duked it out, mono red v mono red. A week ago, it was.
What
I was playing.
What deck were you playing?
I was playing Purphoros.
Oh yeah, I forgot you had a Purphoros deck.
Chris is playing his 1v1 Zergo, and then our friend Mike was sitting there with his partner deck, just not.
He just kind
of. He wasn't part of that game.
No,
really.
No, we ignored him the whole game. We were just duking it out because we're both playing fast mono dagger decks. I have to kill you or you have to kill me first, and then we worry about the other person.
Did he wind up winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, because between the two of us, we got each other down to under 10, and he's like, okay, well, die.
What was he playing for a deck?
Vile Smasher and Fidry.
Vile Smasher is nothing to sneer at either. That deck can do a lot of damage in a hurry.
Vile Smasher didn't like Chris at all in that game.
No, he rolls a die for random.
Right.
And every time it hit me, I'm like, what is going on here?
And sometimes you get like a big spell that comes out too. You're like, okay, that'll be 8 to the face as I play this giant disgusting thing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No, Max threw that game. He punted it real hard.
I did.
What did you do?
I played Duretti, the Scrap Servant.
Okay.
Floated 2 mana off your Soul Ring.
Floated 2.
Sacked your Soul Ring.
Sacked my Soul Ring instead of just playing a...
Hangar Backwalker
for like 8. I could have played Hangar Backwalker for 8, gotten the Perforos trigger, sacked it with Duretti to make the 8 tokens, and then brought it something else back. But
you could have just brought back Hangar Backwalker, would have hit the field, triggered Perforos, then died.
Yeah, and it would have killed everybody because everybody was under 12 at that point in the game, and I literally did it. I'm like, I just lost the game. And Chris is sitting there laughing.
He played it and put the counters on it. I'm like, I see what happened here.
He's laughing so hard at me. That's what you get for not playing a deck a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I want to play my buddy Mike's Scarab God zombie deck because he actually wanted me to play it and give him some advice. So first of all, Scarab God was super fun. I was really impressed playing that deck. It was a zombie tribal for the most part. And I played against it. I played against Max as we had a little bit, and I've seen Scarab God decks. Playing one really felt good. It helps when you get Training Grounds out early. Being able to get zombies for 2 mana.
That is gross.
It's disgusting. But it just was a really fun interactive deck. The fact that you can do it at instant speed, it isn't like Whip or something where you have to do it on your turn. Being able to grab stuff at instant speed at any point in time gives you so many choices in terms of combat tricks and just flipping things back and forth into play. And I had Noxious Ghoul out, so whenever a zombie came into play, so I was able to do tricks with Noxious Ghoul. It was just a really fun deck. I had a good time playing it. The big problems, he had a couple problems with it. He has a Triskelion in the deck because he also has Micaeus, and he wanted he's a newer player, so he wanted to be able to win a game late if he needed to. And I
Jingataxis all over again.
kind of. Well, I drew that Triskelion in my opening hand, and I was mad I had it the entire game. because really, like, in that deck, I'm like, if this was, there was multiple times when, because of the Noxious Ghoul, like, if this was any zombie, I could play it right now and, like, wipe out that, and that, but it's not, so I'm not going to play it. Plus, it's 6 mana. But I wanted it to be everything but that Triskelion. So one of the things I'd suggest him was, like, I know it's a good combo, but man, that Triskelion is just not a great card if you don't have other ways to abuse it. So I think he's going to take that out for something else. But I wound up winning it with, and I've now forgot the name of the card. It's out of, I think it's out of Gatecrash, or maybe Return to Ravnica. It's a blue uncommon where you shuffle cards from your library, from your graveyard back into your library, and then a target opponent takes a damage for each.
Well, that's the art. I'm just even doing art. It's called Psychic Spiral.
There we go. So we got.
I was trying to help you out.
There we go.
I missed that totally. Your neighbor, he sealed hand signals weren't working.
So I got down to a player who had made a bunch of. He was playing a Rune of Hidden Realms deck.
Okay.
And he had played. Is it Urbis Protector? It's like a 1/1 that makes a. When it comes into play, it brings an angel. A 5/5 angel with it, or a 4/4 angel with it.
Yeah, the mono white one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the art. He's like a 6-drop or something.
Yep,
yeah,
he's 4/2 white.
So he'd played that, and then the next turn kicked Red Replication onto it, and he had a Panharmonicon in play. So he had like a field of angels. And I'm trying to figure out, but he was also low. I had dealt enough damage. I'm trying to figure out what I can do to kill him. And it came back around to me, and I drew that Psychic Spiral. I'm like, all right. And I had 4 cards in my graveyard, and he was at 10 life. So the only way I could do it, I also had out a Bloodchief Ascension, and whatever he said, like, I needed to get one more card in my graveyard when I cast Psychic Spiral, and I'm like, oh,
yep,
Triskelion. And then as I did it, I realized, oh, well, I can also deal damage with the Triskelion to him to put me over the top.
Yep.
So I thought I needed to get the Triskelion in the graveyard to have enough, But on top of that, I'm like, well, I might as well do three to him just in case he's got a healing salve or who knows what in hand. But so that's what won the game, was that Psychic Spiral.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've had it used against me before.
It's a decent card.
Yep. Yeah.
The only problem I thought about it, I was like, it's a cool card, but I'm like, in that deck, you're probably making tokens out of stuff in your graveyard. So I don't know how often you have enough cards that are worth recycling. But maybe. I also thought he was low on his the Scarab God deck was low on draw, because the best thing I did in that game was grab someone's Muldrifter token, make a Muldrifter token. Like, that's drawing those two cards in that deck was awesome. So he just needed a little more draw. Now,
does he have it as a zombie tribal?
Yeah.
See, I think I would be okay with that being a zombie tribal if you played certain cards, such as Muldrifter, who's not a zombie, because my theory behind it would be that Scarab God is going to turn him into a zombie.
Right.
And you're going to get the draw on top of
yep.
it. Yeah, I think you'd be better off with those kind of things than you would be with things like the Triskelion that really is, for the most part, only good if you have Micaeus out.
Or you're playing a Marchesa deck.
Yep.
Yeah, where you can recycle it a lot or something, yeah. Yeah, having to have 2-6 drops out simultaneously to have it really work is a lot to ask for.
One being triple black.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all in all, it was a fun deck to play. Any other ones we want to talk about quick?
I don't have any more.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, so let's get right into the show then this week.
It's showtime!
Chris is excited. And we'll get to why here in just
Ooh,
a moment.
Yeah!
So this is our Wooburg series. We're going to pick a color and discuss it. We'll talk about the strengths and weaknesses in EDH. We did white back in episode 4. We did blue in episode 11. We did black in episode 15, and now it is time for red, episode 31, Chris's favorite color.
The color of passion.
So, since it's relevant here, Chris, why is red your favorite color in Commander, or just in general?
Basically, this came down to, it's actually something a buddy of mine talked about, must have been about a year ago, we discussed this really heavily, but I've played every archetype that there is out there. And came down to the realization that my play style is more of an aggro base.
Aggressive.
Very aggressive, which red fits right into that purpose. The biggest thing that I like about red is the ability to attack with haste and then just shoot you with pew, 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 pew spells all day long.
I will also note, Chris right now is wearing a red t-shirt over the top of a Superman hoodie with a giant red shield on it.
Yes, I am.
Not sure how planned out that was, but that also kind of, I think, matches. Now, since Chris just said that, Max, red is your least favorite color in Commander.
That is
true. You tell us why.
I am not an aggro player. Somehow I turn my decks into aggro decks, but I am not an aggro player by trade. I like games to last a while, and red, in my opinion, I can never make it last to the late game.
So would you say maybe you're more of a little bit of a slower, more defensive kind of player?
Yes.
I will now also take this time to note that Max is wearing a pullover with a Captain America shield on it.
Yeah.
May or also may not be a coincidence. I didn't used to like red. I used to think it was kind of the dumb color of Magic. I remember telling somebody, have you guys seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure at some point in time?
Yes.
So there's that the dude at the end who's giving his speech where he's clearly has done nothing for his report, and he just ends it with, San Dimas High School football rules!
Everyone's like, yeah!
Red has always, used to always kind of feel to me like the San Dimas High School football rules, dude. It's just up there throwing lightning bolts, and that's the plan. However, I've come to appreciate it a little bit more in Commander, specifically because so much of Commander tends to be kind of creature combat based, and the fact that red can win and do a lot of things outside of that in terms of direct damage makes it unique. So I've kind of come to like red a little bit more in that way. Even though when I was looking at my list of decks the other day, I'm like, there's not a lot of red mixed in there at all. There's Mina and Den, and I think that's about it right now.
I don't think you
right
do
now.
Anything in Mina and Den that's red, though, neither, unless it's like a red-green card. It's
Chandra's
also,
Ignition.
It's also yeah. like 75% green. There's a few red cards, but not a lot of them. Valkut, I guess. I think that's a land.
That's
but I mean,
colorless.
It's
Come on now.
All right. So what is the first thing that comes to mind, just one thing positive when you think of red? Because I just mentioned I think of it bringing direct damage. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you think about red?
Haste.
Ah, all right.
Mine's going to be the direct damage as well.
Yeah, I like the direct damage being able to do things that other colors can't do. That's not really, I mean, occasionally black deals, black's usually a loss of life, but it can occasionally deal damage to creatures.
I think it's really the only one. I mean,
green hits flyers for damage sometimes.
Green has, what is it,
whirlwind and like the
hurricane.
Spider.
Hurricane or something like that, yeah.
Blue used to have things that dealt damage to you at the same time, like
Psionic Blast.
Yeah, Psionic Blast. Is it 4 to target player or creature and 2 to you?
3. I think it's 4 and 3.
4 and 3, something like that, yeah. But that was a long time ago. And then Marrow still gets mad when people want it. There's a green, is it Needle? A Hornet Sting in green that deals 1 damage to target creature or player. And Marrow does not like that at all. So those are the first ones we think of. What else? So when you think of red's advantages, the things red are good at in EDH, what are the things that pop to mind besides the ones we just named?
Heavy advantages. How about we go with red being probably one of the most popular decks to run land destruction?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Even though people tend to not like that.
I'm fine with targeted. I do not like mass.
Well, and it's got all kinds. Red has targeted land destruction. It's got, it was like we were talking about Ponza in the last show, which runs Stone Rain. I mean, there's multiple different variants on Stone Rain that work in Commander.
Yep.
You have non-basic land destruction. I run From the Ashes of Amina and Dendek, which is destroy all non-basic lands and then replace them with basics. Now, part of the reason I do it is because it's landfall triggers, because it hits me too. So I destroy like 3 or 4 lands and get 3 or 4 landfall triggers. But that's a legitimate, like, I never feel bad when someone hits non-basics, because I always feel like you should bake in certain number of basic lands in your deck to protect yourself.
Everyone who ever talks about building a deck, and they're like, what should I do for land base? It's like, well, if you're in, you know, 2-color deck, you should be running at least minimum, in my opinion, 8 of each basic land.
I run less than that. I usually go 6 to 7, usually 6, but still, it's always double digits of basics at least.
Yeah, I agree with that theory. I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, that's usually what I try to do.
Well, and the second one is because Blood Moon exists, and now Blood Sun exists, that hits those lands.
Yes, indeed.
In most mono red decks are running Blood Moon, and if they're not, it's because they don't have one.
Or they're just lazy like me and don't want to take it out of a modern deck to put it in there.
And the one Chris mentioned, Mass Land Destruction. The red hasn't got that recently.
No, not recently, but it's got a few of them that are
brutal.
Yeah.
Jockal Hops, which is destroy all artifacts, creatures, and lands out of Ice Age. And I think it got reprinted a couple times, like in 6th edition or something.
Yeah.
There's Cataclysm that destroys all lands.
And can't be countered, I think.
I think that's one. See, red also has destroy all lands of a certain type. Such as Boil, Flash Fires, that kind of stuff.
I wasn't thinking of that, yeah. A lot of those are also older, but yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Flash Fires destroying all planes, I think.
Yep.
I think the white player is usually not your threat, but Boil, absolutely. I would
totally
drop
that.
In a mono red deck, I'd consider Boil. I think there's also a couple old ones that don't let islands or forests untap.
Yep.
The Magnetic Mountain, is that one of them, I think?
Don't look at me. I don't know. Least favorite color.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so what else for advantages here?
Goblins.
Goblins.
That's on my list. They have two strong tribes. I checked on EDH Rec. Red has 2 tribes of the top 4 most frequently played tribes, Goblins and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you click on tribes, Goblins and Dragons are like two and four. I forget which is which. So that's really strong out the gate, is 2 good tribes. Now, they don't necessarily have a lot beyond that.
No.
Well, here's to hope with Dominaria giving us some more dwarves. I would make dwarf tribal in a heartbeat.
Or orcs.
Well, yeah, orcs too. That'd be good.
They've started making orcs in recent years. Minotaurs seem to be pretty heavily into red as well.
Yep.
They've got pretty good tribal. So I go to sweepers and board wipes. They're kind of unconventional, because when you think of board wipe, you usually think in terms of like Wrath of God. But Blasphemous Act is one of the
best
board wipes in Commander, full stop, I would say.
Another one being more, what's the word I'm looking for? Conditional, but Chandra's Ignition.
Chandra's Ignition is my number 2 one in my list after Blasphemous Act.
I mean, it's conditional, meaning you need a creature that you can target, because I've made that mistake before.
Yeah, I know there's another one. I'm brain farting on the name of it, but it's 3 mana. Destroy all creatures unless any player takes 6 damage from the spell.
Yep. I don't remember what that one is either.
But at 3 mana, man, I'm getting... It's like, yeah, cool, let's blow everything up, or someone's taking 6. So either way, it's working out in my favor.
The one I never see very much that I always am tempted to put in a deck is Chain Reaction, which is 2 red-red, and it deals X damage to each creature where X is the number of creatures on the battlefield.
Okay.
And, I mean, kind of like the thing with Blasphemous Act, people, it's like, oh, it's 9 mana. It's 1 mana. You're not casting Blasphemous Act unless...
I think the most I've ever cast it for was like 4 or 5.
Maybe if there's like one creature you specifically want to deal with.
Yep.
And same thing here, like Chain Reaction, it's probably, maybe I guess that you could cast it for if it's there's 4 creatures and it wouldn't kill everything. But for the most part, in a multiplayer game, that's going to be 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or more than that. It's just going to be a full board wipe for 4 mana in red.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few different variants on that. So yes, it has sweepers. It has things like Anger of the Gods or Pyroclasm that like just sweep out weenies if you're playing maybe some kind of a dragon deck or something. Or it has a lot of damage to ground creatures.
I don't like Pyroclasm.
No, as a
crush me in a modern tournament a couple weeks ago.
That's what you get for playing elves.
I'm always surprised dragon decks don't run more things like Earthquake.
Yeah, that is a good question. Maybe it's because, I think, doesn't Earthquake deal damage to players, too?
It does, yeah. But I mean, it's probably worth it if it's killing stuff on the ground and not touching all your dragons.
But they're also already sacking all that mana into the giant dragon.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's the nice thing about Chandra's Ignition is it does more damage the better the creature is that you have, but it's also hitting other players that aren't you.
Yep.
And it's leaving your one, the bigger the creature is, the better that scales too, because now you have that 20-20 that's left alive.
Yep.
Like, I do not want to see Max casting Chandra's Ignition in his Kresh deck.
I have it in my Ural deck too as another win con if I need to. Yeah.
Well, I made the mistake a couple weeks ago of targeting Kresh with Greaves on him, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that.
Oh.
To the graveyard.
Oh, that's rough. But had the Greaves on, that would have been a game.
It would have been
a game.
Yeah.
So Chris mentioned for the first thing he thought of the other day, or he thought of is haste. Red is the best color for haste.
By far. I can't really think of any other. There's a couple green ones I can think of.
A few green things
have
it, yeah. Is it occasionally in black once in a while, maybe?
Occasionally in black, but it's usually at a cost, too.
Yeah. I didn't used to be really impressed with haste. I was like, okay, it has haste. Because it's a one-use ability, essentially, for the most part. I've really got to appreciate haste over the years because it messes with combat math, kind of. You think you're safe and you're not.
I disagree.
Okay, why is that?
I think haste is great early game. Like, if you have a commander with haste and you're the first one to get your commander out, awesome. There's 3 to 5 damage to someone. But late game, when everybody else has a board built up, and the only thing you have to do is cast your commander, that haste is not going to be swinging into a wall of blockers. I mean, if you have a way to wrath the board with that 1 mana Blasphemous Act, then cast your commander for maybe the 2nd or 3rd time that has haste, cool, but it's still not great if anybody has a blocker.
I guess maybe
we'll go into Red's other really good advantage.
Uh-oh.
Of things that say creatures cannot block, which
Menace.
Then go with your haste.
Well,
I'm just saying
menace
in general.
Well,
but
yeah.
Menace one, but in general, there's a lot of spells or even creatures that say when this creature comes in, target creature can't block, or spells that say creatures without flying can't block this turn, or creatures your opponent's control can't block this turn.
Or less power than, or...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. There are a lot of red creatures with that ability. I just think, in general, we don't see a lot of those in
that's true.
Our shop.
We don't really anymore.
Except you.
Chris is Zergo deck.
I did.
The one thing I think of with haste is when I first started playing, I was playing against a Thrax Mundar deck a lot.
Ugh.
And that's when I started to appreciate it, because I'm like, this is no longer a situation where, okay, he's going to play Thrax. I have a turn to find an answer to respond to Thrax or whatever. It's like, okay, I have to watch that mana closely, because the second he's hitting the Thrax 6 or 7, 7, I think.
7.
The second he hits 7, I'm down 2 creatures, because number 1, Thrax is swinging in, forcing a sacrifice, and then number 2, I have to block, because it's a 3-turn clock.
Yep.
And because Thrax is going to get a counter right away, and so I'm like, I need 2 creatures on the board. I have to watch that. So that the haste, at least on Thrax, really changed what I had to pay attention to. And now our friend Mike has a Aurelia deck he's been playing a lot lately, and she has haste. And there's been times when I forgot about that, or not forgot about it, but I'm like, oh, I guess I have to be really cautious now, because at any point in time, I'm going to take six to the face from Aurelia, if not more. She's going to hit for six because she's going to swing twice.
Yep.
But everything else is going to, too, because of her ability, and she has haste. So whenever that comes down, it's not like, okay, I've got a turn. It's going to be, if he plays her this turn and chooses to, he has the option to do a ton of damage.
Right, and I agree with you there. When haste is on a creature like Aurelia, who has all the awesome extra stuff,
yeah,
or Thraxamunder, who has a bunch of extra stuff on top of haste, then yes, haste is definitely a threat that you have to be concerned with. But if you're just talking about
the average creature
with haste, I don't fear haste.
Sure,
in the
that
end.
Makes sense.
I think Thraxamunder is an anomaly to this rule. So.
And Aurelia is kind of that as well. She's a pretty strong commander. Out of the zone, particularly in Boros. The other one I think of here is Artifact Hate in red.
Yes. I don't want to say it's the best, because I think green's pretty close.
Green does
on
a good job
with
it.
Yeah.
But since it is like their best like removal type of stuff, I think it would probably be the best.
Vandal Blast. Is
so
the
good.
Best artifact removal spell. I mean, yeah, it's 5 mana to do it overloaded, but it's so
one
what?
Man. It's 1 mana otherwise, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
For single target.
So you still get to kill one thing.
Yep.
Worst case. But usually you're going to be like, I'm going to Vandal Blast, and I'm going to kill 4 Soul Rings. Well, not 4, it's exaggerated. But I'll kill 2 Soul Rings and a Signet and that Talisman and that Mana Vault and that artifact creature. And I mean, like, it's so much value. And it does, and you're just like, and it won't touch any of my stuff, la la la.
And not just Artifact Hate, but Artifact cohesion, because there are a lot of red creatures or red spells that matter that you have artifacts. Are, you know, A, because you need the ramp, because it's red, and there's no Skyshroud Claim in red, unfortunately. But Jaredi works with artifacts. There's a bunch of creatures that artifacts matter in red.
Yeah. Or things like Trash to Treasure that bring them back. Once you swap out that rock you don't need to bring that Wyrmclaw engine back in or whatever.
And that's why everyone wants a good red-blue artifact general.
If only we would find out about one that was coming our way in an upcoming set.
Oh, geez, this is news to me.
we'll get to that when we get to it. So I've got one more bullet point here for one card. I'm going to say Chaos Warp. Which is a weird thing to say, but Chaos Warp, I think, is good enough. There's no deck that I've ever built with red that I don't run Chaos Warp.
It hits anything. It hits any target.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
And 1/3 of the time, it flips a land in the top, so they can maybe get a land out of it. But if they hit a spell, it does nothing.
Unless you're playing with it. I'm totally going to name drop, because I think he listens to us. One Lucas, who every time I've ever Chaos Warped him, shuffles his deck, I cut it, and he flips the exact card.
Yes. Man.
It's like 3 times in a row I've seen it happen, and I'm like,
I've had
really?
It happen as well. Chaos Warp, on the subject, is the only time I actually am concerned with cutting someone's deck in EDH.
Yep.
Oh, really?
I don't care about the beginning of the game or if they use fetch land, but when I Chaos Warp an opponent's card, I make sure I cut their deck, because I hate it when it happens. When that happens, you know, they flip that card and it's like,
I would rather have it be my fault that it came up.
Yes,
right. I've also Chaos Warped my own stuff
for
saving
sure.
it and getting something better. Like, I've Chaos Warped something that was a threat and it turned into a Wyrmcoil engine. It's like, okay, that's a good trade-off.
Woo! I've seen people Chaos Warp their commander away from a control magic before, too.
Yep.
Because, like, okay, well, you can technically do it at any point in time, but if you do it immediately, then that Chrome Magic is going to fizzle, and you might get something cool out of it, and it goes back to the command zone. So I've seen really cool stuff with Chaos Warp. It's not, it doesn't happen that often, but being able to hit any target is so good.
So my final thing that I have, and I think it's a big thing, I was surprised neither of you mentioned it, but the ability to deal double damage with Furnace of Wrath, Dictate of the Twin Gods, that kind of stuff.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
Double combat phases with Relentless Assault and stuff like that.
I actually skipped over the bullet point, but I have...
Okay. I was like, you're like, I have one more bullet point. I'm like, really? Yep.
It has 3 sub-points. It says extra combat steps, double strike, and double damage.
Yep.
Red is a primary color of double strike as well, and that's completely relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to build. I haven't done it, but like, there's a legitimately probably a cool double combat step deck you can make, and I think I've seen it with the red Minotaur that was in
Neheb,
because he makes mana too, so you're getting extra mana to activate things. But yeah, I mean, that's a big deal in red.
I actually, our friend Mike has that Aurelia deck we were just talking about. About a month ago, he asked me to look at it, you know, see if he can, I can help him make it better. And I think it was Angel Tribal when he first sent it to me.
Yeah.
And I just totally turned hard into that extra combat stuff because I'm like, Aurelia has it built in. You can run some of the cool angels still, like Blinding Angel, where you attack player two. They can't do something next turn. Then on the second combat, you attack player three. And if you can do it again, you attack player four.
Yep.
All with blinding. Yeah, they all lose combat steps. You're safe for a turn now. You know, and I don't know if he went that way with it, but it is, that deck has gotten better. But I think Aurelia would be the one I would try it with because you have...
She's already built in with it.
Built in with it. You have removal in white. And you can still run all the cool angels if you want to do it that way. Another one I've seen online actually is Saskia. I've seen people do with Saskia before because of her cool ability of...
Because it's hitting two people with those extra steps. Yeah.
So the final thing I wanted to bring up with that is red's ability to pair well with pretty much every other color. Now, we're not going to say Boros because, granted, but in other formats, Boros is very powerful. In Commander, it's not.
I 100% agree with that.
But I think red pairs well with pretty much every other color.
I have notes on that because actually one of the things later on is I was going to ask about those pairings. We can actually get to that in
a
little bit.
Okay, we'll just forget everything you heard. It was all a figment of your imagination.
Fast forward.
Right. So how about red's weaknesses?
On three?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Enchantment removal.
Not deal with enchantments. Wah, wah, wah. And that's a big deal in Commander because there's a lot of, like, at least particularly in our meta, enchantments, there's a lot of enchantments that do busted stuff that people run.
Creature removal to a point. I mean, lightning. A single copy of Lightning Bolt isn't doing much compared to four copies of Lightning Bolt in a modern deck.
Yeah, that's what I have that on there because it doesn't. They lack the straight-up destroy target whatever, aside from artifacts.
You can take out the Edrix and you can take out the Reese the Redeemed and those kind of things. But when you're facing that Thraxamundar or
Dramoka,
right? Like you
can't cast it at Dramoka anyways because it's on their turn. So.
Right, true.
I mean, you can do it, but you're gonna have to pump eight mana into that Red Sun Zenith to do it, and that's no fun.
No.
I did see some discussion of red getting fight, maybe a little bit more as like a secondary after green. Which would maybe make sense a little bit, and that might be useful.
That I wouldn't mind at all. I mean, because then we go into the lore of, like, Kamal the Pit Fighters type of stuff.
Right,
you know?
It's been done before a little bit in the past. Ooh,
you could build a Zada Hedron Grinder fight deck. So you make Zada fight something, then all your other stuff fights something.
All your 1-1s that you're running in your Zada deck?
Well, after you Titan Strength them and and make them all, Bloodlust, 24/24s.
Yeah. All right, what else for disadvantages in red for weaknesses?
This, I don't want to say it's a weakness, but it's not the greatest. I'm going to say their card draw due to the fact that you have to discard something to net something.
Yeah, I think if we're having this discussion 3 years ago, card draw is a much bigger deal than it is today.
Right.
For one, Outpost Siege alone
helps. That is beautiful card.
Even the new one from Ixalan, granted you can't play a land off of it, it still helps.
Yep.
Which is called Impulsive Draw, where you get a card that you exile, then you have till the end of turn to play it. There's one, I think it was an M14 Act on Impulse, where you exile the top three cards, and you have to play them. Now, granted, you spent 3 or 4 mana to do it, so you're limited. But in my Archangel Avacyn deck that we discussed at the previous show that I took apart, the first version of it had all those bad creatures you could sacrifice. Those creatures were all like one drops or something. The deck had a super low curve. So I ran Act and Impulse in there. So there was multiple times when I cast it, I got to cast all three cards because I thought, like, exile the top three, and then, oh, well, there's my land drop, and there's a one-drop creature and a mana rock.
Yep.
And I could play them all for, like, 4 or 5 mana easily. So those Impulse draw things are really cool.
Yeah.
I think they fit the flavor of red really well, too.
Like, red has a card draw, but it's not as good as other ones.
Yes.
You have to sacrifice to gain.
And the other thing, right, what Chris is talking about there is, I think it's technically called rummaging, because looting is when you draw and have to discard, and rummaging is when you have to discard and then draw.
Yep.
Red has quite a bit of the rummaging, which I also once upon a time hated, and now I've kind of gotten to appreciate it.
I definitely appreciate it. I mean, Red, 3 years ago, like we said, card draw would be a totally different conversation, but having more and more cards getting printed with that rummaging ability, I mean, it helps. I mean, if you don't need that land, get rid of it. If you don't want that 8 drop that you got stuck with in your hand, get rid of it. You know?
And I guess technically that isn't, it's more card advantage. It's more card quality than it is draw, because you're usually trading 2 for 2 or 3 for 3. But one of those is a land. So you're almost always trading a card that presumably you've already played your land for the turn and you don't need to get something that's actually a resource. And in the last couple of years, Tormenting Voice is a new addition that does that. Magmatic Insight is really solid. Is it 1 mana?
Discard a land to draw two.
Which right there, it's even built in. Like you're getting rid of a land
that
you don't need for 1 mana to get 2
now
cards.
Now you have
Cathartic Reunion.
Cathartic Reunion, which is discard two to draw three.
Right. So they've really improved that between the impulse and the rummaging. That's helped a lot. And then, of course, there's the wheels.
Yes, the wheels, for sure.
The big ones being Wheel of Fortune and Reforge a Soul, because those refill your hand entirely. Well, everyone's hand, but you discard your hand and draw up to 7.
Yep.
So those are really good in red, because if you're down to 2 or 3 cards, you back up to 7.
A lot of times you usually are, because your stuff is lower CMC and it's able to drop it out fast, but you don't have the recursion that other decks do.
What's the one with Metalcraft for 3 mana? Psionic?
Psychic Blast or something like that?
Yeah, I can picture the art on it because it was in the Nekusar deck, but I can't remember what it's called.
It's a wheel.
Molten Psyche.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a wheel where you only draw that many, but if you have Metalcraft, each opponent loses a life for every card they discard.
Takes the damage for each card that they draw, I do believe.
Yeah.
And there's Winds of Change for a red where you just discard and draw that many back up.
Yep.
And that's all players as well. But that's also only one. So if you're at 3 lands in your hand, spend 1 mana to get those 3 lands to get, 3 or 4 cards back, and hopefully they're not lands.
And there's a card I want to play with in one of my red decks. I think it's a 3 mana, draw 4, discard 3 at random.
Like
Goblin Lore or something like that.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try it, just be like, I need some card draw in here. let's jam as much as possible.
That card's actually kind of expensive now. It's gone up.
Has it?
$5 or $6 now.
Ooh, going through my bulk tonight when I get home.
There are some other red cards that do similar things, like Gamble,
tutor
a card and then at random have someone discard something.
I would run Gamble in mono red.
I think.
It's worth it.
Worst comes to worst, you pitch the card that you went for, which happens to me like 90% of the time. But
Right. You want to gamble when you have 6 cards in your hand, not when you have 1. But, still.
That's why it never works for me.
Right.
Ah.
I'm just gambling to become Hellbent and Threshold.
Right.
There we go.
Another disadvantage I would point out is doesn't have much in the way of ramp.
Just artifacts, yeah.
Not at all.
There's a few rituals, like Pyretic Ritual, which is, I forget what they spend for to put...
Two mana to create 3.
Seething Song is
3 mana to create 5. There's something Geyser, which you add red to your mana pool for each creature that you control.
Braid of Fire.
Braid of Fire, I like. I've always liked Braid of Fire. I never had a deck for it, but Braid of Fire is, for those that don't know, it's 1 in a red, I believe.
It's 1 in a red with a cumulative upkeep of add 1 red mana to your mana pool, but you have to use it during your upkeep. So in EDH, that's a little challenging in my opinion.
And at the time, it was a big deal because that was considered a lot of a downside because there was mana burn.
Right.
So if you didn't use that mana, you took damage for it, 1 mana, 2 mana, 3.
Yeah, for all you people who have just started Magic, I'm very happy you never had to live through those days.
Not that it was relevant that much, but it was just mostly annoying.
Yes.
But yeah, if I was running a deck with 10 to 15 instant spells or a commander with an activated ability that could utilize that mana, Braid of Fire is a really good card.
Yeah, red-green with Omnath that just eats all the mana.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of an underappreciated card, I think.
Yeah.
You have limited graveyard interaction in red. That's built into red, like with your
own
graveyard
into red,
to get stuff back. There's just not much you can do. There's a few things that bring back artifacts, but not a lot.
Mm-mm.
And I would say this, particularly, until the last year or two, but Red's Planeswalkers have always been historically pretty weak.
That's an understatement.
We finally have a good Chandra right now.
A couple good Chandras.
Yeah, we have a couple. In the one in M14 that also had an impulse draw on it.
Yep, she goes in my decks just because of the draw. I could care less about the rest of her abilities.
That was the first good Chandra, but the first two Chandras aren't particularly good. Tybalt isn't good at all. Although I think it's a cool card, right. Tybalt isn't good.
Koth of course is you okay. Think
it's Koth's okay.
Koth is actually, well, no. That's just skewing
not
me.
Not Commander, right.
Yeah.
Because does he get played in Modern or some
yes.
format where he's played?
I played in Scred, okay. Yep.
And then the mono red Sarkhan isn't bad because he turns into a 4/4 flyer for 5.
With haste and indestructible.
But he doesn't really do anything in your deck. He's just an okay value planeswalker.
Yep.
Okay, so what are some of the workarounds for these weaknesses in red? So, like, what are the workarounds for? We've kind of mentioned, you mentioned for lack of ramp, you can basically just run artifacts, which is the go-to problem. But what are some of the other ones?
I think it's all your colorless stuff is your best option. As it is for every color. We've discussed this on the other episodes where your best options are to go into your artifacts and do it that route to cover up, shore up your weaknesses that the color has.
And unlike in Standard where you only have the standard set worth of artifacts, we've got 20 years of artifacts we can dig through to find things that fill holes.
Yep.
I think Unstable Obelisk is, if I was running red, I would put Unstable Obelisk in the deck. It's number one, it's a mana rock. If it does nothing else, it's a 3-mana rock, which isn't like perfect, but that's not terrible.
No, not at all.
So worst case, if you never use it for 10 consecutive games, it's still a mana rock. But if that enchantment that's screwing you over is in play, you can spend 7 mana, which is a lot. But I mean, if it wins you the game, it's worth 7 mana. That's worth it. So I think Unstable Obelisk in red is absolutely worth running.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm trying to think here. A good suggestion, I've never tried this, but somebody told me that Liquid Metal Coating in red, which is an artifact, I think it's a one drop, and you can tap, Max is looking it up while I'm talking here, you can tap to turn a, I don't know if it's a permanent or a non-land permanent, into an artifact until end of turn. And because if you're playing a deck where you've run, you have a half a dozen artifact removal spells, it turns that into a...
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Liquid Metal Coating is a 2-mana artifact. You tap, turn, target permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types till end of turn.
Yeah, that would actually be a really good idea. I mean, even if it half the time is a dead card in your hand or something, if you have anything else online, then you could play the Destroy Artifacts and you're pretty much considering those as enchantment removal,
right, yeah.
Land creature, whatever you need it for.
So in a mono red deck, I would for sure consider that. That's kind of a cool interaction.
If you have a way to abuse it, like untap it or something, then that's really great. Yeah. Right.
I'll mention this. I mentioned my Archangel Avacyn deck before. When I ran that, one of the things I ran in that deck was Pyromancer's Goggles.
Oh, that's such a good card.
Which is a good card in general, and it's usually good in red because it's a 5-mana. It's basically it's a mana rock that makes a red. But when you use that red on an instant or sorcery spell, it copies that spell. So number one, you're in red, so you probably have some burn spells or things like that that are doing some kind of damage, so you can copy those. But where I loved it was I was running all of those red rummaging spells. Copying a Tormenting Voice feels really, really good in red when suddenly you're discarding that one card and drawing four instead of two. So for me, it was worth running Goggles. In addition to being able to copy the stuff like Chandra's Ignition or whatever, being able to copy all of those red rummaging spells, it was worth it, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I love those. Oh, such a good card. Such a good card.
Red does a lot of the replicating of spells.
Yes, it does. We mentioned it as a strength, but for sure. It has quite a few reiterate and fork.
Yep.
Is the original one that did that, but there's a few of those in red.
Reverberate, I think, is one of the more recent ones. I've had players do that to me, and it always never see it coming.
Anything else in terms of workarounds?
I have a big one. And
don't
I'm not
play
sure
red.
Many people will agree with. Whoa. Shots fired.
Whoa, no.
This is something that is a theory for competitive constructed formats that I'm going to bring up, especially when you're building your sideboard. You can just ignore your weaknesses and shore up your strengths.
The best defense is a good offense, I think would be the...
Yeah, for instance, if you're building a sideboard and constructed, you can either choose to go a match that's like 30% in your favor, make it a 40% matchup. Or you can just ignore that and turn your 50-50 matchups into like a 70% in your favor.
Sure.
So that's the way that I look at it is you can pretty much just ignore the weaknesses if you want to. Put in a few things that, you know, do something, but don't spend, like, all your time trying to fix it.
Or you're in red, you can just try to kill the person before their,
yep,
before the weaknesses matter. Like, you can just play more aggressively and hope that it doesn't come up. That's kind of what black's thing is in terms of the weaknesses. We're just going to run at that as fast as we can straight ahead and just hope it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And red kind of does that too. One kind of, because I use Chaos Warp for a positive, I'm going to use a single card, or in this case, two cards for a workaround. Red Elemental Blast and Pyroblast are legit cards, particularly in mono red, that both destroy blue permanents or counter blue spells. Mono red, those are absolutely worth running, I think, or considering running.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very rarely are you going to not have a legitimate target for those. And they're one mana.
And even if you don't, guess what? You have all those rummaging draw spells that you just pitch.
Absolutely. Right, you bet.
Yeah, if you sit down at a table and no one's running blue, you're just like, well, cool. If I get that in my hand, we're just going to, that's the first card I pitch.
And how often is at least one person not running blue?
I was going to say, yep, did that happen? People don't play blue?
I run Carpet of Flowers in my Sigarda deck, and I've never regretted playing Carpet of Flowers. So Chris touched on this before. I said we'll deal with it later, and now is later. What colors do you like to pair with red and why?
Green, for sure.
Well, first of all, my first one is white. Ha 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 ha. That's what I have. So yeah, green complements red. Is when I think of colors to pair with red, I usually think of green.
Green,
the first
I
one I think of.
Green shores up every weakness that red has.
Yes, it shores up the weaknesses, and the strengths pair really well with
red. It gets even stronger because red green creatures are insane.
Yeah,
I mean you get Blood Rush mechanics, you get Cascade mechanics. I mean, you get so much just by pairing those two colors together.
You get Landfall. You get tons of stuff.
Yep.
It's really good in Dragons. It's really good. You can build a really good red-green elf deck.
Yes, you can.
You'll be able to build a really, really good one next month.
I want that card so bad.
We won't specify what we're talking about till the show, but... Yeah, I think first of green. How about blue?
I love Izzet.
That dovetails well together too.
Yeah.
Yep. It becomes more of a spell slinger deck in my opinion.
Yep.
Yep.
But maybe at some point we'll get a cool artificer in red blue.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
if that were to happen at also some point in the next month.
I feel like I missed something here.
And then black. I mean, black isn't as good, I don't think, necessarily, as the other two colors. We're skipping white, obviously. Chris talking about, like, just bowling straight ahead and saying ignore your weaknesses.
Yep.
Well, that's what black and red's doing. You're ignoring those weaknesses.
Pretty much what you're getting out of that is
a little bit
better creatures, some better card draw, and that's pretty much
even more aggression.
Yep.
Like, you're just going to run even faster.
I agree with all that, and I think just my personal preference, I have yet to find a Rakdos commander that interests me.
I have, too, because I would like to. I want to build a Rakdos deck at some point.
So I actually would prefer to build Boros before Rakdos.
The best general that I've seen talking about bowling straightforward is Olivia Mobilized for War.
Where you discard to give your guys haste.
+1/+1 counter, they become a vampire, and they gain haste.
You built that for 1v1, didn't you?
Yes, and it is an extremely gross deck when you're playing. Because she comes out on turn 3 as a 3-3 flyer. Turn 4, you just start pitching your hand. Poof. Oh, I just dropped a 5-5 on turn 4 that had now is a, you know, has haste, and I'm just, bruh.
And then black at least gives you the draw to replace all the cards you're pitching and reanimation to reanimate the ones you're pitching.
Yeah, it was a fun deck.
But it's... When you fold, you probably fold hard.
Oh, yeah. You can run out of resources in a quick hurry.
That's kind of how Rakdos works.
Yep.
So what are your... The last thing we'll kind of talk about here. What are your favorite cards in red?
Go ahead. I have a few of them, actually. I actually have favorite cards in red because I've seen them get played and I enjoy people playing them against me.
I think by far my most favorite card now... because I now have the full art textless
the player
rewards foil is Lightning Bolt.
For sure. It's also one of the most iconic cards in Magic, just period.
Yep. My second most probably is my homegirl, Monastery Swift Spear.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that card too.
Chris is just going to read off his burn deck list for the next 10 minutes and
we'll just wait here.
You can fast forward to the end.
Well, why'd you shoot some of them out there, Max?
My first one's going to be Grenzo Havoc Razor from the second conspiracy, the one with Goad.
Yep.
I think Goad is a really cool mechanic.
Yes.
A guy in our playgroup has this deck or had this deck. It's just always fun to play against.
I believe he has both Grenso decks now.
He does. He has a the black.
Red, yep, and I played against the black red one the other night, and it was interesting to watch him play it.
My other one is my good friend Herbrask, the Hidden. I do love me a Praetor every now and then, and I think he's one of the
He's the fairest of the Praetors, for sure.
Elish Norn is fair.
Yeah. Jingataxis. Actually, Elish Norn is probably the second fairest of the Praetors.
Jingataxis is not fair, ever.
No.
Vorinclex isn't a lot of fun either.
Those are the two I'll name right now.
Okay. Let's hear some from Dana.
The first one's kind of a cheat, but I already mentioned it. I love Pyromancer's Goggles. I love that card.
That's not red, though.
It's mixed red mana. It's red.
I suppose technically it has to be in a red deck. Yeah.
But I played like the last, when I played Standard Last, it would have been a couple years ago when Goggle Ramp was a deck. And it wasn't particularly great, but man, that deck was super fun to play.
Fall of the Titans doubled.
There's so many times I would be like at 3 life and the person's at 20 and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to win now because I've got I'm going to double Fall of the Titans. And that was where I first learned that like doubling up, because that deck ran Magmatic Insight and it ran Tormenting Voice. That's where I got the trick of doubling those up that I used in that Avacyn deck. But yeah, that deck was a blast to play because of Pyromancer's Goggles. I mentioned Blasphemous Act. I love Blasphemous Act. That's a one mana board wipe, always feels good. And I also mentioned my third card on the list, which is a terrible card, and I said it was terrible. I love Tybalt.
Oh, no.
And what did I see? I saw the great designer search. They revealed all their candidates, the last 8 candidates today, and you could actually go and see the cards they designed. And one of the people designed a Tybalt card. And I don't remember what the card did, but the flavor text on it was, if the answer isn't violence, you're asking the wrong question.
Wow. I like that.
I was like, man, the card wasn't that great, but I loved that flavor text for it.
I feel like that's from a John Wick movie or
kind,
something.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So anyway, I think he's a cool looking character visually. I like that there's this devil in an old school suit. And I just I've always liked Tybalt for some reason. And it's not a good card at all. But I wanted to mention Tybalt being, I'm a fan. So why don't you guys write into us and tell us what you like about red? Any suggestions you have for shoring up red's weaknesses or making red a better color? We would be glad to hear them. And maybe we'll down the road here in an episode or two when we get those suggestions, do a little few minute segment and read them back to you.
Yeah, I'll definitely end up trying some of them like that. That liquid metal coating, it never dawned on me, something like that. And then once we start talking about it, I'm like, oh, I have so many visions going through my mind of what I want to do now.
So hopefully we'll get a few more of those as well. And Max and I both have Boros decks we want to make here at some point in the near future. So I'm sure we will check in and let you guys know how that's working out as well. All right, I think that is it for tonight. Thanks for listening. Episode 31, we'll be back next week. And until then, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.